Welcome to the podcast. Please check out any other podcast and subscribe to hear future podcasts. James P. Meganello found a way to combat multiple challenges in life. In these podcasts, share the thoughts and ideas that helped him. Let's listen in on his latest podcast.
Hey guys, this is James. Welcome to the podcast. I have a very special guest today, someone who I've actually been interacting with on Twitter. And we just connected as people because our mindsets are exactly the same. Despite the fact that we may have different backgrounds, that's okay. The cool thing about it is our mindset, our philosophy, what we believe, what we stand for is the same. As you guys probably know from the podcast, my philosophy is I refuse to quit. And that stems to everything. Her philosophy, and I'll introduce her in a second, is be a go-getter. And that we have that one commonality that crosses all industries. And I'm more than happy to introduce CEO, writer, blogger, podcaster, Shinjini Das.
Thank you, James. Some of those are coming up. I'm not a podcaster yet, but I think that's our philosophy though, right? As you know, you said, I refuse to quit, be a go-getter. You know, that's where we're going. So I appreciate you starting with that.
Well, I think it's pertinent because when you look at society today, when you look at the concept of health and nutrition, and you see that across the board, and it doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your, the concept to it is the same.
Right.
You want to go basic. You want to keep it easy. You want to make it simple and easy to do. Right. But the challenge we run into in the society is the convenience.
Right.
The challenge and the convenience, I forget which movie it was. It was a Harry Potter series. He says, there's going to come a time where you have to choose between what is right and what is easy. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, as a society right now, when it comes to exercise and nutrition and even our health, we're choosing the easy versus the long-term solution of doing what's healthier for us. And that's not easy to explain because not a lot of people want to face it.
Totally. I'm with you there. And it's so interesting because when you first reached out and you said you wanted to talk about convenience, I was a little bit I'm confused, but you know, it's like you just say, oh, we want to talk about convenience, but no, this is totally, I think the challenge that we're all running into now is time is limited for all of us. And, you know, with careers demanding more and more and more of our time, you know, and kids and family and, you know, elderly parents and all these things, you know, you really don't have much time at the end of the day. So what do? You know, you reach for the Big Mac, right? You reach for the KFC, you reach for all these different things, which, by the way, if consumed in moderation, are probably not that bad for you, right? But I think the danger becomes when you are eating like that every day, you know, when you're never working out, when you're always stressed, you know, that's the real issue. So I'm with you. I applaud you on starting.
And it's a challenge because I get it from a financial aspect. Being what I used to do in the different industry that I was in, I saw the numbers. So I saw the law of averages in a consistent way. With the exercise and nutrition, that's the pure law of averages right there. I mean, I was working this out. So I was like, okay, you get 5-6 meals a day times 7 days a week, 42. If that's your 100% ratio, how many cheats do you have? And then when you have that cheat, that's when the numbers start to go down. The only challenge is a lot of people, instead of having those 5, 6, or 7, they could be doing those 3 or 4, and it makes the ratio smaller. So when you have that one cheat, instead of it being 2%, it turns into 10%. And when you drop over a certain threshold, the numbers drop and then things come in, body fat, and nobody likes talking about that, but it's part of the package. I hate to use an old expression, you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
In this kind of concept, it works the same. But I did find a way, and this goes actually into number two on the price. When they say buying food is expensive, we're buying healthy food is expensive. No, it doesn't have to be. I mean, you could look at, like, I go to Stop and Shop.
Yeah.
And I look and you see the big name brands could be like $4.39. And the simpler brand by the store could be $2.39. Okay, that's a good difference in price. But read the label. What's the difference? You may see the protein on the natural one 19 with a sugar of 2.
Yeah.
And the store brand with a 16 with a sugar of 18.
Yes.
So there's that balance of the two. It's mm-hmm. it's not more about price. It's more about what is more important, price or results.
Right.
I mean, that's as plain and simple as it can get. And mm-hmm. from a go-getter standpoint, and I'm going to take your perspective on this, the go-getter standpoint is you go get it and you do it no matter what it takes. It's the athletic mindset
yeah.
in the sense that when you get into that, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter because right. you're looking about going to the next level and the next level.
Yes.
Because you know that, unfortunately, a lot of people, when they're starting, they don't see letter D. They're still down at A.
Yes, yes.
That's but right. From a go-getter standpoint, I know this is difficult in the beginning because when you start at A, you have that dream of D and,
yeah.
and F, but you're still in that A and you got to get to B before you get yes. to the others. So from a go-getter standpoint, from your perspective, how were you able to go from that A mm-hmm. to that farther letter?
Yeah, no, totally. And I appreciate you saying that, James, because like you said, it is really hard, you know, and every day that is what I deal with on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram, all these things that people are feeling stuck. You know, just today I said, because it irritates me that so many people are consistently looking for solutions outside of them, you know. So I just came back from Honduras on a tour with the U.S. Department of State. And even there, you know, it's like, what is the X country's government going to do? And in my mind, I'm like, this is your country. Like, you have to solve the problems here. It is not anyone else's job to do that for you, you know? So there's this constant expectation of handouts, you know, and help. And here's the thing, you know, have I been in sticky spots before? Absolutely. You know, with my business, how am I, you know, completely sustainable? No. So am I against asking for help? Absolutely not. I think what I'm against is being a victim of your own situation and your own circumstance. And so that's something that I see every single day. And it just irritates me because I try to fix it. I try to solve it. But the fact is, like you said, you know, majority of people are completely stuck. And I think what happens when you're stuck is that not only are you not able to see D, you're probably not even really able to see A or even the advantages of A, you know? So I think in terms of my personal experience, you know, I actually started with the D. I started with the, you know, as I said, being with the end in mind. I really did that. And I do that every day, you know. So even though I know that, you know, today may be a financial struggle, you know, I know the checks that I'm going to get, you know, like I just came back from the bank and they were like, by the way, like with the business account in our bank, in this bank, it's $25,000 deposit a day. You know, so like that's your limit, you know. And my thing was like, you know, first world problems when you hit your limit, you know what I mean? Like per day. So my thing is like, yes, this is a struggle right now, but I also know what I'm working towards. And I know that that's going to be my life one day and it's going to be amazing and probably come with a lot of other problems, to be honest. But, you know, at least the financial side out, it'll be taken care of. And so for me, that's how I work, you know. I really do work with the end in mind, and you know, that's what I'm working towards. And I think for too many people, it's sort of the here and the now. And by the way, the here and the now sucks. So everything sucks, so I suck, so everything is wrong with me, and now we're in this loop that we're frankly never able to get out of. So in terms of advice, you got to start with D. You got to start with the end in mind.
But I think I'm going to counteract this one. Even though you want to start with the end in mind, you still have to be in the A with the blinders on and that mindset and stay into that and absorb, like, you know, it sucks where I am, but I have to, and this is going to sound really funky, but you got to embrace the suck, which sounds really weird. But in order to be able to get to that point, you got to get over that point that sucks to be able to get there. That's the only reason why I like doing obstacle courses. I mean, yeah, you do CrossFit. It's the same kind of thing, just no mud.
Yeah.
But when you go through it and you're sitting in that mud up to your waist and you can't move and you're sitting and you're feeling everything and you feel helpless.
Yeah.
You look at it and you're like, you see the dirt on the other side.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All I got to do is get from here to there.
Yeah.
And that's why I took the simplicity. And I actually made everything simple because if I could make that one little thing work, that's the simple concept.
Yes.
It goes back to Jim Rohn 101, easy to do, not so easy to do. Yeah. And that's what I believe in, is the power of the choice of the individual. Mm-hmm. If you can choose to make it easy, everything else is going to fall into place. Uh-huh. Have that easy. If you make it hard from the get-go, oh, forget it. Game's over. You're going to quit, like, even by step three. You're like, I can't do it.
I get it. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it is about sort of that playful spirit that this is a game. You know, this is game. And I'm going to win. And, like, let's make it fun, you know. But I don't know if you knew this, but I did CrossFit, like, for quite a while. And, I mean, it was brutal, you know, especially when you're first starting out and they were like, flip a tire. I'm like, this is insane. But by the end of it, like, it was actually fun.
Because of the fact that you went through the process.
Yeah.
And the endorphins were lit.
And I think it also just became a joke. Like, today, what are they going to ask me to flip? Like, I've already done a tire. So I think it became like a joke to me and like funny, you know, what more can you throw at me? Like, I've done it, you know what I mean? So I think there's a level of just confidence, you know, that comes with that. So totally look at it as a game, you know, tips. I look at it as a game, you know, play it as a game and figure out how you're going to win.
But I think it goes bigger than winning because of the fact that a lot of people, and this is a correlation to life and price too, people equate winning with money. It doesn't always have to be that.
No.
It's like, I want to win or I want money. Well, what's the cost? You know?
Right.
I look at it from that perspective. It's the former finance part of me. Right. I don't accept things as is, and that's the former epileptic in me because... Yeah. If you accept things, I think Goethe was the one who said, if I accept you as you are, I will only make you worse. But if I treat you as what you ought to be, I help you become that. It's about seeing the potential in somebody else before they sees it. See it. But it's not easy because not everybody sees that. They see that roadblock and that's it. And they're in that moment.
Yes.
And you want to go like, come on, dude, snap out of it.
Right.
And they're there. It's like, you don't want to leave them,
but
at the same time, you want to progress. And if you stay, you're holding yourself back. That's a real tough one.
It is. And you know, I also want to say, James, you know, for me, winning is also not money. I think that, you know, for a lot of us, financial is definitely a goal. So, you know, for me, I'll be honest, right now in my business, winning is money. Like, I'll be totally straight up with you. But, you know, I'm not advocating that for everyone. You know, having said that, winning to me is, like you said, totally about the mindset. You know, am I overcoming? Am I stronger? Am I, you know, faster? And then do I have more mental agility? I think that's the one that I've been thinking about lately is, you know, am I able to move, you know, from roadblock to roadblock with just ease, you know, and that to me is growth. So.
Of course. I mean, wealth means different things to different people.
Right.
For me, wealth was not being on blood pressure or cholesterol or epilepsy medicine.
Totally.
And here's a real simple one. Being able to touch my toes. That's a big win.
For sure. Totally. No, markers of health, markers of fitness. You know, a lot of go-getters need sleep medicines, right? Like to go to sleep. So you're sleeping on your own. There's just little things. I mean, for you, it's little. For me, that's huge or whatever it may be. You know, for all of us, it's different. But I think what we're both saying is it's all about the mindset. You know, as a go-getter, as someone who refuses to quit, it really is about the mindset.
Of course, because the mindset is half the game.
Yeah.
It's like, what do they say? I think they gave the example of Abraham Lincoln. Yeah. I would rather spend 2 hours sharpening that axe.
Yes.
And then 45 minutes chopping down the tree. Yeah. We're the axe.
Totally.
The nutrition is the axe.
Totally.
If we spend that, I'll use this morning as an example. I spent about an hour and a half prepping my food.
Yeah.
About three meals, cooking, prepping, Tupperwareing, case in point, making sure everything is organized, and then you can live. That's the other side of it. Because once you get to that point, there's time.
Mm-hmm.
There's freedom. There's time for personal development. There's time to get into podcasts. There's time to reflect. There's time to write. Yeah. That's the other side of it. That's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
But to be able to get there, you got to start from back here.
Totally.
There was a phrase. I got to use an old school phrase. You can't put the cart before the horse.
Totally. I'm with you. I'm with you. No, that's inspiration. I'm taking mental notes. Food prepping is something I'm a big fan of. Like I think that whole, as I was saying, like when you're organized, when you like organization, you thrive on organization. It's such a beautiful thing to think about, because I'm such a, like, I just want to grab it and I want to eat it. I don't want to think about it too much. And that's sort of the perfect way to do that. So I appreciate you bringing that up. You're such a go-getter, James.
I learned from the best, Shinjini. And I got to tell you, even though you and I have only communicated for a short enough time, the mindset, the concept, even though go-getter versus I refuse to quit, it's the same thing. Yeah. It's about taking where you are, starting from there, like going from your speaking experience. And I got to go back into your book on this one. When I was reading your story about going through all these, and I'm like, this is a stepping stone. This is a stepping stone from going from point A to B. And then I'm watching how you're going from speaking, I have to say, from small places, larger places, to giving the commencement speech in college. Yeah. Then next thing you know, you're on ABC News actually doing interviews, or you're actually giving, I think this is going to be coming, TED Talks per se.
Yeah.
It's like that chronological list. And
the
only problem that you get there is, everybody looks at that very last one. You're like, how did you get that? It's the same on fitness. Everybody looks at that six pack or those muscles or that physique. How'd you, well, you got to start when you're about 276 pounds and overweight, because everybody forgets the journey. But the journey is what makes that one point at the very end. Like,
yes. Totally. Like, I mean, you know what, James, I'll be honest, you know, me before, I think I was chasing the titles, I'll be honest, and especially in my competitive public speaking experience, you know, and I'll be honest, it really was about the next trophy, like, just to be completely honest, because also at 15, 16, that does drive you, you know, that kind of drive, you know, shiny, it's, you know, it's hardware, you know. So for me, that definitely did drive me. And I think a part of me in my 20s started becoming a little disillusioned because I consistently felt behind, right? Because when you start living like that for the next paycheck, for the next
expectation of yourself.
Yeah. Well, and also you're never fully content with yourself, you know. So for me in my early 20s and even mid-20s, really, I would say 22, 23, there was this feeling of like, am I just never gonna be enough, you know, which, as you know, is something pretty much everyone I know struggles with, you know. But the only difference is I think they haven't switched their mindsets to this new perspective of like, I'm not going to measure myself through that lens anymore. And I think for me, the media really changed that for me, because it really became about, I'm on a mission now. Like it really, like if ABC wants me, if Good Morning America wants me, you know, I'm thrilled. You know, I'm a big GMA fan, you know, I'm a big Today Show fan, right? But that is no longer my goal, James. You know, it really isn't. You know, my goal is to empower go-getters with actionable strategies and motivate them. And like, that's my mission. So I think for me, it's been a very conscious shift, because I was tired of just never feeling enough. Because to be fair, you're never going to make enough money, because there's always more money to be made. Okay. Right? You're never going to get enough trophies, because there's always more trophies you can get. So for me, that way of living, it just wasn't really fulfilling, you know, and I really had to change my lens. And I do credit the media for doing that, because once they discovered me at 23, you know, that's when I actually started measuring myself through the journey, you know, and the experience. And even now it's like my mission is a lot bigger than just money or trophies, you know.
That's, and I'll equate that to the health and fitness aspect too, because for the past 2 years, I can say, I've worked on me.
Yes.
I've worked on my exercise. I've worked on my nutrition. I got down to a weight I haven't been to since I've been in high school.
Congrats.
So, well, thank you. But I looked at it, I'm like, who's next?
Yeah.
I actually started thinking bigger. I'm like, who can lose weight? Who can lose some inches? Who's got a run they're trying to prepare for? Who wants to do an obstacle course?
Yeah.
But they have that mindset and they're thinking down there, they got to start here.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge.
Yeah.
But I've been, just like you as a business owner and a speaker, you've been through, I'm trying to use a nice word, you've been through the ringer, so to speak, in the sense that you've actually had the trials and tribulations and the experience that you take with it as you go to the next point.
Yes.
We're, and I'll relate to both industries, we're at a point right now, we're in little queue. So we're seeing people down and back at letter A. They may have their situations or I can't do this. Well, guess what? Start with one day.
Totally.
That's the way when I actually became seizure free in after I had my last seizure in 96.
Oh my God. That's
I had, oh, I never podcasted this, but
congrats.
I had a seizure at home, lasted 45 seconds, license was suspended for a year. My life kind of had to stop. And I think, okay, let's go one day. And this is where I could equate to the fitness thing. And I think you might identify this when the go-getter aspect, because you start with one day.
Yeah.
If I could do one day seizure free. Okay. Yeah. That day became a week, a month, 6 months, a year. I got the license back. And the next step was, let's try for two.
Mm-hmm.
And that simple concept went from a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And then I got to a point, my neurologist calls me and says, let's do some tests. When was the last seizure you had? I said, 96. He's like, we did the tests. There were two different types. One was extensive with basic with 15 minutes with electrodes on your head to test for seizures. Next one, 72 hours. No seizure activity. A month later, he calls. Let's start weaning off that medicine. So with that out of the picture, I thought three words. What's stopping you? Nothing. And I just went for it. And I think that's similar to a go-getter because the challenge on a go-getter, they have that roadblock. And the challenge with a lot of roadblocks, you can't see it. And when you can't see it, that's holding you back.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't matter if it's money, if it's time, if it's family, if it's a job. I think this is something you and I can relate to. You have to have that reason why from the get-go. If you have that, you're unstoppable. With that why, you become the go-getter. You become I refuse to quit or whatever mantra that means the most.
Yes. To you. Yes, no, totally. And congratulations. I had no idea about that. Actually, over the past few weeks, I think you've seen in the media, folks have been dying from the fatal form of epilepsy. So
yeah, I saw that. There was the kid. He was on the Disney Channel. And I read the article and my heart broke. I saw it and I'm like, no one needs to leave this world this way.
Yeah.
Statistically, it's referred to as status. It's called status epilepticus.
Yeah.
Basically, what it means is you go into seizure and you don't come out. What happens is, and I know one other person this happened to, statistically what happens is the body goes into a seizure. And when the body goes into a seizure, you have no control of your actions at all. This is 100% neurological.
Yes.
And what happens is, and this is sad, the brain gives out from the seizing and the body passes. And when I saw that, my heart broke. I looked at him like,
what the brain gives out signals? What does it give out that everything shuts down?
When a person has a seizure,
there's
electrical impulses in the brain, and basically they send out stimuli that basically cause the body to react differently.
Okay.
Some people, mine was referred to as an absenteeism. The reason why I actually mentioned about the letters A, B, C, D. If I went into a seizure at E and came out at J, you would see the whole thing. For me, it's an instantaneous jump. Okay. I see A, B, C, D, E, J.
Okay.
When you get into that point in status, you're unconscious of what's going on. You just are in a seizure and you don't know anything. And the hard part to it is the brain gives out in the sense that
it stops.
It can't function anymore after going through all that. It's like a computer when it just shuts down. It's the easiest example. And it's sad because when a person gets to that point, despite all the negativity you see in society on different, nobody needs to go out that way.
Wow. No. But James, in this situation, like he was 20, I mean, was that preventable? Like I've been wanting to ask someone, you know, who knows something about this, because
sometimes it depends on the severity of the epilepsy.
Yeah.
There are 27 versions of it. Mm. But so you can't, I don't want to use a negative term, you can't pigeonhole one particular type of epilepsy, because there's three categories: short-term, long-term, tonic-clonic. Tonic-clonic is when they flail on the ground. And from there come the variations. Okay. My type of epilepsy was referred to as partial complex. Okay. Partial in that it's a short-term seizure. Complex in that you have no memory of it. There's another variation of it called partial simple.
Right.
Part time, but simple because you remember it. That freaked me out.
So his may have been a very aggressive form that we did not know of.
Correct. And the difference to it is there are some people that are born with it. Some people have it through accidents. Some people outgrow it. I guess I outgrew it. I really don't know. But there are some people that I know that can have it the rest of their lives. Wow. But I made it a point, and this is the go-getter, I refuse to quit tie-in. I refused to allow my epilepsy to stop me from living my life. That's why I did theater for 17 years. That's why I sang in choruses. That's why I got into fitness. That's why I do obstacle courses. Because if you let one thing stop you,
that's the end.
Game's over. And I think that actually equates to everything.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I was going to mention is with social media.
Yes.
I'm very, very particular about what I choose to post on social media, because I look at it in the sense that my private life is mine. What I'm going to tell you with exercise, health, and fitness, that's straight science. My journey, you'll know that.
Right.
But my personal life, my situations with my family.
Right. No, that's fair. I don't think anyone's asking for that. I don't think you have to.
No. What I mean is, I think social media is a good tool.
Yeah.
To actually share information, ideas, and exchange ideas and meet people with different industries, which I think is unique. Because being that people live in different parts of the world, we don't always have that capability.
Right. But
with the advantage of social media, you can. Now, I got a good friend. She lives in the UK. She's got two. We pick up and talk like we haven't
known
each other for 2 years.
But
that connection that from social media, that I think is cool. But I think there's a big difference between using social media as a connection and networking versus sitting in your phone and you're losing out on the people that are in your life.
Totally.
That's my big caveat. I believe you got to unplug, because you'll always see the people in your device.
Yeah.
Your life may not be there.
Yeah.
And that's the big one. That's my big caveat with social media. You want to use it? Fine. Remember, life happens outside your phone.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen on the phone.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen on the computer. It happens with the people that you meet.
And
this was where I believe in the power of choice. You can choose to actually talk to people online, talk to people in person.
Yeah.
But there's a fine line between the real relationships where you have
digital,
the connections with people, versus, and I think this is what's really tricky on social media, how they present themselves online is different who they are in person. That's really
I feel like you're pretty, well, maybe you're an exception, but it seems like you're pretty the same.
Well, it depends on the individual.
Yeah.
I mean, you could actually have someone say, oh, they could tout all this, say all that. And when you meet them in person, they could be real quiet.
Right.
Or it could be the opposite. They could be really quiet in person, like really quiet on social media, but when you meet them in person, they're on, game's on, show's on, spotlight's on.
Yeah.
There's got to be a happy medium in the between the two. Yeah. That's why, for me, I like the decorum aspect. There's a certain amount of information you can share or choose to share, but there's also a certain amount that
Totally.
Because there's certain things, because your name, your last name is attached to everything that you do. They look Google that last name. There's everybody.
So
there's a certain fine line. I believe that my personal life is my own.
Totally. No, and that's fair.
And I have to say, that's like a go-getter family thing. For me, that's mine.
No,
totally. Who's out there? You ask me any questions about health, fitness, nutrition, stuff like that. That's cool.
Yeah. I can't imagine. Are people asking you about your family? I mean, is that something?
A couple of people ask me about my family on Twitter, but when you look at their locations, they're not even in the US, they're in different countries. And I'm like, you feel like, okay, wait a second. There's that uncomfortable thing. Because when you get that vibe, something doesn't sit right. And this is just instinctual. When it doesn't sit right, you're like,
you don't have to share about your family. You don't have to do that.
If I do, I make it real generic and simple. Right. People go through challenges.
Yes.
Good challenges, bad challenges. How you respond to it and how you react to it is how you're going to react maybe 6 months down the line to it. And that's as basic, simple as it can get. And that goes across the board because my family life, that's my personal life. I don't need to post it.
Broadcast it. Yeah.
No, because life is like what I was saying. Family is off social media. I mean,
that's fair. I don't think anyone is like asking you for that. So that's fair. But the challenge becomes, you know, when you have, a sort of a brand that you're building on social media. And in my case, you know, as a woman, it's actually very different, you know, because people love crossing the line. You know, people love to get really deep and ask sort of these questions, which I'm like, I don't think that you should ask that. You know, so I think male and female, you know, I do want to point out that I think there is a difference between the questions that like you versus I get, to be honest, you know, on social media, number one. But number two, the fine line becomes if you are running a personal brand on social media and you're an influencer, that's when the line becomes a little bit
finer. It's a lot finer because when you're actually in the, and I'll use you as an example in this one, because of the fact that you've been in the spotlight and the fact that you've actually been in the media, that's a whole different ball of wax.
It is a whole different ballgame, which is why every day, you know, I'm actually having to draw redraw the line, you know, because and if people ask me this every time, they're like, you know, what is that line for you? How much is too much? You know, and my answer is always, it's a personal preference. You know, for me, family, I don't really say much, if you've noticed. I mean, I don't really talk all that much. Again, I talk generically about the importance of family.
Of course, because of the fact that that applies to everybody. It doesn't matter what your background is, because when it comes down to it, family is family. Families that are coming from the heart. Yeah. And when something's coming from the heart, that's something you're protecting. You know, totally. I mean, I've seen someone on Twitter, she's a mom and she has a child. When I saw that, I mean, I'm not a parent.
Yeah.
When I actually saw how she's taking care of her kid, I'm like, you know what? I admire that. I respect that. And I looked at that and I'm like, I just messaged her. I said, you know, I admire what you're doing with your daughter because it's instilling hope, possibility. We need more of that in society today. Totally. And I saw that and I'm like, I just said the same message. My old personal training manager said, keep doing what you do. And I like that simplicity of it because you could take it and boom, go with it. Because something so simple for me, somebody, and I'm going to use you as an example because I talk with my hands a lot.
Yeah.
Something so simple for me, I could just give it to you and boom. It could be something so small for me could mean the world to somebody else.
Totally, no, and absolutely. And, you know, when I'm a mom, James, you better send me messages.
I'll tell you this much. When you become a mom, I'll be watching. It's like, okay, let's see how you're treating the kids with nutrition. I'll be watching because...
With nutrition?
Because of the fact that I'm going to look at them like... We discussed there are traditional dishes. I'm not knocking you on this one. I'm Italian. I get it. we got our pasta. We got our carbs. But you know what? There has to be that balance. Just like everything else. If we could find that balance between the tradition versus the nutrition. And I think this goes all across all cultures. If we could find a way of taking the tradition with the nutrition and combine it together. If something that's traditional may not be healthy, that could be a nice little cheat right there.
Right, totally.
So you get to that end of the weekend, like, you know what? I'm going to go something traditional, and it's not going to hurt the law of averages with what you're doing. It's a win. That's just a straight out win. And if people could see that, it's like game over.
Totally. I'm with you. I am with you there.
So I'm going to ask you a loaded question. When's your next book coming out?
Actually, no, I can talk about it because, I mean, regardless of the publisher or whoever I decide to go with, you know, this is what I'm going to write, because I think something about me, which you, it's the same. It's like, yeah, we refuse to quit. And also we're very, you know, original, you know, in our ways and our methodologies and what we believe in. So for me, you know, I am not shaking and I am not straying away from, you know, what I believe in, you know. So again, regardless of which publisher I decide to go with or who, you know, offers the best advance or whatever it is, you know, all those logistics, it actually will be a self-help book. It will be a traditional sort of self-help book of, you know, this is how you, you know, deal with these XYZ ABC situations like a go-getter. Which honestly is what people want. I think this was a great first book, and we are now exploring, like, okay, it's an ebook, so I definitely am working on audiobook next. And then, you know, thinking about, you know, are there opportunities for paperback, hardcover? Also, I mean, nowhere, by no means are we done with this. I mean, because I'm 27, this will go on for the next few years. So the next book won't be for a while. I don't think that it will be until maybe even 35 plus. But
I think there's a way you could actually remarket this in a way that actually goes to the next generation, like you were talking about, for one reason, that concept of the go-getter, you put that into different environments for like a kid, and actually with the goals and dreams and actually to the next level with what they want to do.
Yes.
And if you want, we could actually take that to the next, if you want, I would love to collaborate with you on something as far as going to the next level with, doesn't matter if it's fitness, obstacle courses.
Yeah.
It's about going outside the box. And this is the whole go-getter I refuse to quit tie-in. Going outside the box, going to the next level and continuing to keep going. Because when you get to that next point, instead of being back at phase one going, what if?
Right.
You have that mindset shift of the go-getter I refuse to quit tie-ins of what next? And that's constantly pushing you to the next level. And when you get there, it doesn't matter what the mind, doesn't matter who's, your mindset
is
constantly going up.
It's
like when your mindset gets like the stock market on a good day and it just goes up, it doesn't matter what the negativity or the negative
is.
When you make that shift, it's over. That's it.
Well, and I think I also want to emphasize, James, the importance of the go-getters and our sort of creator methodology. I think something that I'm really proud of, because you've seen my journey, you've hopefully understood that, you know, I wasn't always this way, you know, as an immigrant, as an Indian American, you know, we were taught to be docile. You know, my culture doesn't teach you to speak up as much. You know, the thing is sort of, you know, be silent, do your job. You know, for me at Deloitte, I was making almost, you know, 80,000 at 22. I mean, you've made it, you know, at that point. So for me, it's just like, not only questioning, which of course that is part of it, but also now having this mindset, which I totally do, is I'm a creator. You know, I'm a creator of opportunities. I'm a creator of wealth. I'm a creator of happiness, right? Because I control my happiness, right? I'm a creator.
That's the key.
Positive energy.
Exactly. You know? That's the key. I think you actually honed in on it.
Yeah.
We have the power to create what we want to achieve. It doesn't matter if it takes a week, a month, a year, five. It doesn't matter. We have the power to do it. That is the key. And it doesn't matter the platform. It doesn't matter if it's social media. It doesn't matter if it's a blog, a podcast, a YouTube channel, just something to put yourself out there to give yourself that push over the top. If you could find a way to do that, you won, period. Yes. And it doesn't matter what, like I'm 49. Yes. It doesn't matter what your age is. Once that mindset gets there, it's done. I think Gary Vaynerchuk said that too. Once you have that mindset, who cares what's going on? Who cares what the money is? You won because your mindset is in a different spot.
Totally, totally. No, 100%, which is why, you know, I feel so confident and comfortable now, because I know even though I'm not where, you know, I want to be in some areas, the fact that I'm a creator, I just have confidence that I'm going to create my destiny and I'm going to get there because I'm a go-getter.
Oh, that's, you know, beautiful.
Yeah. So, because I don't want to, you know, stress that, well, you know, everything's great. You know, every part is wonderful, because I think part of my irritation with social media is that is a lot of what I see, right? Perfect wedding, right? Perfect marriage. And I know, again, you know, my audience is a lot of women, right? So a lot of women come to me and say, okay, well, you know, she has this amazing boyfriend and it's this wedding and this and that. And I have to come in and say, yeah, but you don't know what she's dealing with behind the scenes, you know?
Oh, that's the case with everything in society. Yeah. Just because of face value looking a specific way doesn't mean that's the way it actually is. You look at it's like everybody else in society and what we all go through, what you see at that particular moment, that may be that moment to shine. You look back about 16 months and you see the turmoil and the stress they went through about couldn't find this, couldn't find that. Nobody looks at that because everybody looks at the end result. The same in the fitness thing. Everybody looks at that day 90 picture where they have the muscles in this. They don't look back at the time before day one where they were X number of pounds heavier, X body fat heavier. They were watching TV. They were doing this. They were... There's so much backstory that nobody sees beforehand because they only see that one moment. I got to use this from the edge of the screen. They use it from that moment to the end. But there's stuff going back there that nobody knows about. And it's like in the movie, and unfortunately not like in the movies. In the movies, you get that flashback scene. So you kind of understand a little bit.
Yes.
In life, it doesn't happen unless we have that narrative. So we say, you know, the reason why I'm in this way is because of the situation that happened back there. Mm-hmm. Only then will the person kind of get the insight, a little bit of glimpse to understand a little bit of why you are the way you are.
Yes, totally, totally. No, and because I do this a lot, James. Like I'm not like, are you happy? Like I don't say it like that, but you know, I open conversations with people, and I can, you know, honestly tell you this: every time that I've talked to them, their reality is far worse than what I see on social media. And you know, I hope you and I are in the minority where our reality is the same. Again, I don't want to say better or worse, but is the same as what we project on social media. So, you know, a lot of, I mean, just whether that's like, let's say someone posted, a girl posting, got a new job, six-figure salary. The minute I talked to her, she's like, yeah, that's the only offer I got. You know, all the rest were much lower pay, So again, we're dealing with this one offer. And when she posts it, you know, a lot of people may think that she got multiple offers at that pay grade and that range,
and the
women are thinking that there's no way in hell that I can even get to six figures. You know what I mean? It's just things like that.
But that's a limiting belief that's actually stopping you to get to the other side of it.
Right.
Because of the fact that, see, this is the real discrepancy, and this is the challenge I see in a lot of situations. You put the limiting belief on yourself because of what you want for yourself. Don't limit that. Look at it as a stepping stone to get from where you are to where you want to be. I mean, that was my mindset when it comes to fitness. And I think it's the mindset of a go-getter too. If you start with what you got, where you are, who cares? You do your best with what you do your best, where you are with what you got, and you keep going forward. And that knowledge you get from the experience is what you take forward to get into a better spot. That's the challenge that not a lot of people see. They want to go from here to there. You got to make the journey up the stairs. Oh, that's a good one. There's no elevator to the top. You got to take the stairs.
That's right.
And honestly, I got the good shoes. I don't mind taking the stairs because... And I think this is something, as a go-getter and I refuse to quit, we'll get this. We get the journey because we've had our own.
Right.
We keep going. It doesn't matter. Well, for us, it does. It doesn't matter what the destination is. We get that. In order to be able to get there, we got to go through this journey. Right. That's the key. That's what the thing from a fitness standpoint. A lot of people don't want to do that.
Yes.
And that frustrates me. I'm like, one who's holding you back is you.
Yes.
You know, and that breaks my heart because I'm like, you know, when I had epilepsy, when I had the seizure, I thought, I got myself into this.
Yeah.
I got to get myself out of it.
Right. Totally.
And it's even harder because you can't see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the biggest challenge.
Right. Right.
When you look at all the fear, that we create that stuff.
Yeah.
We create that because of the fact that something that we're not satisfying in ourselves is causing that. Yes. And if you find out what that one thing is and you conquer it, boom, sky's the limit.
Totally. And
that's the big thing. A lot of people are still in that one point. Fine. What's causing it?
Yeah.
It's like when you go to a doctor. You go to a doctor, doc, I got this problem. Well, what's the problem? I can't do this. Well, don't do that. But I have this thing I can't do. Well, what's, and they look to the root cause. There's a way we have to be our own doctors to our own lives in the sense of what we want to achieve and becoming go-getters. I refuse to quit. The only way we can be able to get from here to there is find out what's the root cause behind it that's stopping us to get to the next level. If we could find that out, game's over, because we can become go-getters. We become entrepreneurs, whatever we want. But it's finding that one thing and going over that little bit of hump. If we could find that, the road's open.
Totally.
When that road is open, it's on.
Yes. Yes, sir. I'm with you there. I think, you know, the biggest lesson, you know, from this podcast for everyone listening and watching, who will watch, who will listen, is sort of this importance of being a creator, of taking that next step, right? Of figuring out what your personal obstacle course is and not comparing, you know, because we're all on different journeys and we're all at different points in our life.
And we all have different experience we bring to the table as we go to that obstacle course. So if you and I are in the same obstacle course, I got experience with this. You got the experience with CrossFit. Yeah. So it's two different dynamics. Yeah. We're both going into it the same way. Yeah. But the way we respond to it based on our experience and how we're feeling at that particular moment is how we're going to feel going forward. And I think the thing that I like the most about obstacle courses, it relates so much to life.
Right.
That's what really drives me with it. Because when you get to that end and you cross that finish line, you're just lit up. Your endorphins are going crazy because
amazing sense of accomplishment for sure.
And you look at it and you think, what's next?
Yeah.
How can I push myself to the next level? That's the true go-getter aspect and definitely a full entrepreneur mindset. Because when you look at it in that sense, you look at it and then you look at life.
Yeah.
And you realize I just beat obstacles that were more challenging than me.
For sure.
And then you look at life and you're like, and this guy
I'm scared of this.
That's it? Yeah, it's over there. It makes things so simple. Yeah, and I think that's the thing that I learned from it. But you know, everybody's going to have a different perspective.
Totally.
Shinjini, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time today and actually doing this Zoom with me. I know I might have gone a little bit over, but you know what? There are so many things that we could equate that's outside of fitness that actually applies to life. And I think that's important because when people see that, they can understand and they can relate it. So I personally wanted to thank you for taking the time today.
Of course. Of course. No, thank you, James. And again, I'm just really appreciative of your support, your go-getter, and your story is inspiring to me and so many of, again, you know, just eliminating those mental roadblocks and going and getting your goals. So thank you for being an embodiment of what I'm, you know, teaching and embodying and just, you know, our movement of being a go-getter who refuses to quit. I love it.
Wow, that's humbling just hearing you. So thank you. And for you guys listening, I guess I'll get you in the next podcast. Have a great night.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. Thank you for listening in. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to hear the latest ones. Follow James on social media as I refuse to quit. That's I refuse number 2 quit.